you will have trials. And as we know, that is not true. Trials are part of God's plan for refining and growing us. And we learn a lot of that truth through Job. But he's tried to understand. He's tried to trust the Lord through it all. And he's done great at that. Meanwhile, his friends, supposed friends, have accused him of being the reason for his children dying, for him going through so much suffering, losing his living, losing his health, losing his children. And so the three friends have had their back and forths, all of them essentially saying the same thing. Job, if you'll get right, then things won't be so bad. Essentially the teaching that the disciples misunderstood when they saw the blind man and they said, who sinned, this man or his parents? Jesus said, neither one. He's not blind because of sin, his specific sin. So Job, in the course of all of these words, has given us some amazing truths. In chapter 1, he said, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Job 13, verse 15, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job 19, he expressed a knowledge about the resurrection that no one else at that time understood. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet of my flesh shall I see God. And then 23:10, the one that we sing all the time. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What a great truth. 23:12, he said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So he's done his best to try to answer to his friends. And as he says there at the end of verse 31, the words of Job are ended. Well, there's a fourth friend who's been waiting all of this time, because he's the youngest, to have his opportunity to speak. What's interesting is, most of the other friends took one, maybe two chapters to say what they had to say. He's going to take six chapters. And that starts here in chapter 32. His name is Elihu. So beginning there in verse 1, so these three men ceased to answer Job, because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel of the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram, against Job, as his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends, because his wrath kindled because they found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak, a multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show mine opinion. Behold, I waited for your words, I gave ear to your reasons, whilst you searched out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job, or that answered his words, lest you should say, we have found out wisdom, God thrusteth them down, not man. Now he hath not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. They were amazed, they answered no more, they left off speaking. When I had waited, for they spake not, but stood still and answered no more, I said, I will answer also my part, I also will show mine opinion. For I am full of matter, the spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine, which hath no vent, it is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak, that I may be refreshed, I will open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles, and so doing my Maker would soon take me away. Three times in this chapter he used the phrase, mine opinion. So that's going to be the title of our message. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom. I pray you would use your word in our hearts this evening. And Lord, may we learn some things tonight that would help us serve you. We are grateful for this amazing book and all it's taught us so far. May we continue to learn and be more like Jesus. May you be glorified in this service. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as I said there in verse 6, verse 10, and verse 17, he talked about mine opinion. By the way, that phrase is found in the Bible three times. Only in Job chapter 32 and only spoken by Job's fourth friend, Elihu, who said, I want to show you mine opinion now. It's my turn. Now, he was very respectful of his elders, which is good. It's a good thing to be respectful of our elders. The thing that he said there in verse 7, he said, days should speak, a multitude of years should teach wisdom. This is a scriptural principle that he was following, and I admire him for that. That he waited until they had spoken. And by the way, this is both an Old and a New Testament principle to show respect unto our elders. So go to Leviticus chapter 19 and we'll see an Old Testament verse about it and then a New Testament. So Leviticus chapter 19, look there at verse 32 if you would. Leviticus 19, 32. It says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord. That word hoary means white. For some people have white hair. I don't have very much, but some people have a lot. And they're to be honored. That's a scriptural principle. And then if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll see a New Testament verse on this truth. So Elihu got this right. That days should speak, a multitude of years should teach wisdom. In other words, allow the elder to give wisdom before the younger. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. In other words, treat the elders as a father. And we know the scriptures command us to honor our fathers. And so God is saying we're to treat our elders as the same as we would treat our father. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible says, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. So it's always a scriptural principle to do what Elihu did here, and that's to wait his turn. Speaking for six chapters, probably not so wise, but we'll talk about that as we move through. But he definitely had a pride problem. You've already seen that, haven't you? And so let's go back and see some of the things he had to say that were not accurate, which has been true of all of Job's friends, as we'll see when God rebukes them. So verse 2, because he justified himself rather than God. Did Job do that? No. Job did not justify himself. His wrath was kindled in verse 3 because the friends had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Well, that's actually true. They had condemned Job. But the fact that they weren't able to find an answer, that's true, but I don't know why that should have made him angry. And then in verse 5, he said, when he saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. Three times in this passage, his wrath was kindled. He was angry. He was angry because he felt like Job had been wrong, but he also felt like his three friends didn't answer Job's wrongness, if you will. And so he was already off base. Because he's already going to speak with the same perspective as his friends that Job is wrong, that Job has sinned, that Job has caused this. He just feels like, based on his opinion, that the other three friends didn't answer accurately or well enough to correct Job. And so, like he said there in verse 10, therefore, I also will show mine opinion. Now, in verse 20, he says, I will speak that I may be refreshed. What's he saying? He's saying that he has to speak because it's going to make him feel good. Did you know that the Bible teaches, especially in the book of Proverbs, that sometimes it's better just to say nothing? Keep our mouth shut? And this would have been a golden opportunity for Elihu to just sit back and say nothing, rather than spend six chapters speaking a bunch of rubbish, which he's going to do, because he's so keen to give his opinion. But we all have a pride problem, right? We got that from the devil and from our earthly parents, Adam and Eve, and pride often leads us to where we feel like we just have to have our say. When we're in a conversation, When we hear someone saying something, we feel like we have to give our opinion. But do we? That's the question. Do we? Or can we maybe sometimes just keep our mouths shut? And by the way, this is a principle not just in Proverbs, but all through the Scripture. And I'd like us to look at it together, because this temptation to give our opinion, we need to understand where it comes from. It comes from pride. We already know what God thinks about pride. He that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, Proverbs 16:5. So let's go to Proverbs, look at a few scriptures, and just get a handle on this temptation to always give our opinion. Go to chapter 15 for starters. And let's just see what Solomon had to say, since I'd say Solomon was pretty wise. According to the Bible, he was the wisest man that ever lived outside of Christ. And he tells us, Proverbs 15:28, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." So God says that the righteous take their time and they study before they answer. They don't just blurt out their opinion. And then go to Proverbs 17:27. Look at 27:28. "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit." Verse 28. "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." Isn't that something? Put a bunch of people in a room together and everybody's expressing their opinion. The guy that just sits there and listens, God says that's the one that everybody's thinking, maybe that's the wise one. Because he's not saying anything. That's what God says in his word. "He that shutteth his lips, he that keeps his mouth shut, is esteemed a man of understanding." And I'll go to Proverbs 21 and verse 23. And you'll see that this is all through the scriptures. This principle that sometimes it's better just not to give your opinion. And let's face it, with social media the way it is, everybody has an opinion, do they not? And they have to give it. Proverbs 21:23, what's it say? "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." And then my favorite is Proverbs 29:11. Let's turn over there. Proverbs chapter 29:11. This is Elihu. It says, "A fool uttereth all his mind." A fool can't help himself. He just has to blurt it all out. But it says, "A wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." A fool just gives it all. And so our temptation is to give our opinion like Elihu. He couldn't help himself. He sat there. He listened to the other three give their opinions, give their condemnations of Job, basically saying, "Job, it's all your fault." Job gave his answers and said he was just going to trust God. He didn't understand, but he was going to trust God. And he said, that's not good enough. Now it's not, I'm going to give my opinion. And I'm going to give a long one. So let's look at a New Testament equivalent, James chapter 1. Most of you know this passage, but let's look at it anyway. James chapter 1. We've all heard this saying, God gave us one mouth and two ears for a reason. Amen? We tell our kids that. One mouth, two ears. What's that say? Listen twice as much as you speak. James 1:19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak." Can you imagine what the world would be like if everybody just followed that tiny little principle of those two little phrases? Swift to hear and slow to speak. But often we're tempted to be the opposite. Slow to hear and very swift to give our opinion and speak. And so what we're going to learn from Elihu, you can go back to Job 32, is he couldn't help himself, and he's just going to get himself into a lot of trouble with his opinion. Remember, these four men showed up with an original purpose of being a blessing to Job. That's what we read. Let's go back and see. Just be reminded of that this evening. Go back to Job chapter 2. Look at the end of verse 11. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. So their initial reason for coming was to mourn with him and comfort him. They did neither one of those things. I mean, here this man lost all of his children in one day, lost all of his living in one day, and then loses his health on top of that. They should just be there to give him a hug. And when it comes to the comfort, that saying, oh, by the way, Job, your children deserve to die. That's not very much comfort. But that was the intent, but that's not what happened, because they couldn't help themselves because of all of their wrong thinking about, you know, what the world calls karma. Basically, you know, people that go through intense suffering somehow deserve it because of some sins of the past or whatever, and nothing could be further from the truth. And God gave us Job's life and the story of Job's life just to teach us the opposite, that God allows trials in our lives and he knows what he's doing and he knows why he's doing it. He has a purpose in them, as we've looked over and over in the scriptures, 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace who hath called you into eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that, you've suffered a while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. After you've suffered a while, Job, I shall come forth as gold. So, when the temptation is there, as it was for Elihu, to say, you know, I want to give my opinion. And as he said in verse 18, the spirit within me constraineth me. What spirit is that, Elihu? Is that the Holy Spirit? Nope, it's not. That's his spirit. He's saying, I have to. I can't not speak my opinion. And if anything should constrain us, it should be the holiness of God. Amen? Not having to give our opinion. When Paul was writing 2 Corinthians, when he talks about being constrained, I'll read what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. If Paul was constrained by anything, it was by the fact that God is holy and that hell is real. Now that should constrain us. But the desire to give our opinion when we end up in a conversation with others, be careful about which spirit is constraining you to give your opinion. Because there's another spirit, amen, besides the Holy Spirit. And we don't want to be led by him. So sometimes it's best just to say nothing. And I want to give you just a sampling of some of the things that Elihu is going to say. But I don't want to give too much of a spoiler alert here. But like I said, he's going to speak in 32, 33, 34, 35, and 36, and 37. So he's going to speak for 6 chapters. Well, Job is only 42 chapters, so 1/7 of the book is Elihu. Imagine that. The youngest is 1/7 of the book. And you know what's going to happen after that? Look at chapter 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered. Uh-oh. Then God gets involved. And, of course, we want to hear what he has to say. Amen. But not necessarily what Elihu has to say. Look at chapter 35, verse 2. Thinkest thou this to be right, that thou saidest my righteousness is more than God's? Did Job say that? That he was more righteous than God? Of course Job did. We've read what Job had to say. Job didn't say that. Chapter 36, verse 2. Suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. Well, who assigned you that task, that you're going to speak for God, to Job? So this man has a serious pride problem, as you will see, as we walk through his opinion. So if we can learn anything from Elihu tonight, let's learn to be careful about this temptation to give our opinion. He did get the one thing right, and that is respecting our elders. That is scriptural. And he was following that. He waited until the other three spoke. And so, you know, when you got the white hair, respect it. That's what God commands us to do. And there's people like Brother Jim. When's your hair going to go white, brother? It's not fair. I heard that. He's older than me. Don't listen to him. So be careful. Three times he said, I will give mine opinion. And as we've already seen in chapter 32, he didn't have much to say yet that's even worth mentioning or talking about. There's a lot of hot air pouring out of this man already. It's only going to get worse. But if we can learn anything, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. James 1:19. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your